Hi, guys. Thanks for inviting me to come and speak tonight. I know some of you didn't invite me, but thank you for John Barnard that did. And even with praying, I was just thinking that for me, it was just like we've only lived in this part of the country for about a year and a half. And it made it so easy for me to move from Essex to here just because you guys have made us feel so welcome and so loved. And I want to say thank you, Lord, that you've done that for us and for our girls, that they feel so happy in this church. I was listening to, I think it's Premier Radio this week on the radio, and they were talking about, is children's ministry one of the most important ministries in the church? And they were sort of saying, how important is it for a church? We have it or don't have it? And for us, that I know that that's what brought us to this church, was the fact that you, our children, felt welcome here. Our children love church. Our children love coming to church. We'd hate to be in a place where we'd have to drag our children to church. They if we didn't go, they'd be disappointed. So it's just good reflection on you. And I was thinking, well, if you don't have anything for children, then you could probably lose sort of 20s to 40s, 50-year-old sort of grow plus the children. So you could end up with a congregation with hardly any children. So I would encourage those involved with the children's ministry to keep going on, because I think that you do give sort of real life to the church. So I know I spoke to a pastor once and asked him what could I pray for his church, and he said families and young people, and that's what he didn't have. So we're really privileged here. That's not what I was going to talk about, but I've got my little helper here, Becky. Thank you, Becky, for coming with me. She wouldn't have come in here and hear her dad preach. She'll probably give me marks out of 10 when I get home. And she got me a bit of cake, looked after me. Thanks, Becky. Right. The question really I want to ask the church really tonight is, are you missing the very best that God has for you? Is there more than this? Are you satisfied with what you've got? Have you lost your passion? Have you still got your passion for God? And I'm just speaking really from a testimony of what God's been doing in my own life recently. And I'm really just to try and encourage people, to challenge people, to say, I need you to walk with me. I need you to help me with my walk with God. I don't want to be on my own. I know that I can't just walk on my own. I need your help and support. But when the elders were looking for a pastor of this church, they were asking us, as within the house groups and that, like, what do we feel we were looking for in a new pastor? And so I was starting to sort of dream, I suppose, and say, God, what would I like to see happen? And I was feeling, well, I'd really love to see God move in a more powerful way. I'd love to see sort of like signs and wonders and miracles and things like that happening. And that was, and I think I'd love to have someone that was sort of their life, and they could teach us and train us and have that sort of person come in. And then I just felt God challenge me and say, well, where are you in this? Where are you in your life in this? Where, like, it's okay you want that, but for someone in there, but are you walking in that yourself? Is that your passion? Is that your desire? And I would admit that I'd got very complacent in my walk with God. I'd got very sort of my reading my word with God had really gone downhill. I listened to sort of stuff online in the van, like the Bible online, but actually spending time with God and taking time out with God and sort of not doing something out of religiousness, but out of a passion to want to spend time with God, it had gone. And so God was just really challenging me on that. And I can't really explain what really happened, but I know I was pondering on that, and I thought, God, that's what I want. Sort of what I was really, suppose, what I was wanting for the church, I want for myself. And God, I want to be a man who is in love with you, who just really wants to see the power of God move from my life, to see people around me touch. Because I just, as Paul was saying this morning, often what do we offer people? What do we give people? People who don't know God, like what are we showing them? What is there that would make them sort of hungry and thirsty for God? And I was thinking, well, if God moves in my life in such a way, and I think God was showing me it's more than just the powerful gifts, it's just more about who I am. And God was just showing me not just, he just showed me about the Holy Spirit in such a wider expanse, I suppose. The Holy Spirit is just an amazing gift to us. And so I started to really just study the Bible about the Holy Spirit. And I was getting really excited about reading the Word of God. And I wasn't just reading it for the sake of reading it. I was saying, God, talk to me through your Word. Show me what you're trying to say. And as that happened, I started getting excited about the church. I started praying for the church in a way I've never prayed for the church before. I started getting a real passion for people within the church. God started laying on my heart certain people to encourage them, to build them up, to say, go for it, you can do it. And he was just starting to change my life. And I don't want to go back to where I was, sort of thing. And I, even over the last 2-3 months, I've felt myself going back to that again, and I don't want to go back to that place. I don't want to be in a place where I'm just not effective, where I'm just sort of complacent and just can't be bothered to push in. And I know sometimes I get tired, I get exhausted, and it is hard. And I know I could make all the excuses. I could say, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I find it really hard to push into you, God. I find it hard to find time to read your word. I find it hard to find time to pray. But I can tell you one thing. I find it very easy. I can, every day, I can guarantee you I get 3 good meals to eat, plus snacks in between, and I find time for that. And I thought, if I can find time for my physical food, how can I not find time for my spiritual food? And it was just really realizing it was just a priority in my life, whether it was whether it was important to me or not. And it was showing me what was the most important thing in my life was food. And one of the things God was challenging me about food was, would I be willing to fast for him for a month? Well, I couldn't give up not eating food for a month, so I gave up cakes, puddings and biscuits and sweets and things like that, which I find quite hard to give up. They're something I really, really like. I like my food, I like my puddings. And so I started to do that and started to give that to God and say, okay, God, I am serious about this. I am serious about pushing in. And anyway, he just started to, I don't know, just speak to my life in a new way and started to show me things in my life that I didn't sort of realise was there, or, well, I say didn't realise was there, so was, it's two sides. One side, there was the ugliness side of it. If you shine a light on something, you see things you didn't realise there. I put some new lights in our kitchen, like 4 spotlights. And Amanda thought her sink was clean until the lights went on, and she was shocked. She said, I can't believe the state of my sink, she said. And she really embarrassed. But it's like with the dull light, it looked fine. But with this bright light, the stainless steel just looked really scummy and limescaley. And it was just as God was shining light on my life, I just started to see things in my attitudes, the way I might judge people, the way I might... I don't know, just things in my life that just weren't right. And I know, like, for me, I was brought up in a Christian family. I've been brought up in church. And I suppose I'd always known about God from when I was really little. My mum said I used to chat away at age 4 or 5 in bed, talking away to God on my own. And I used to pray and see God answer prayers as a young child. So I knew God was real. But also I had this, I suppose, a bit of a performance thing where I knew what people expected of me, so I used to perform to what they expected of me. And God was showing me about how I need to sort of get away from performing for people, that I don't be what people expect me to be, that I need to be who God's called me to be and who I'm to be. And I know that even what God's doing in my life, and I've been talking to some people and perhaps challenging some people, and as Paul was saying this morning about... getting irritated and whatever, that I believe that God may be using me to irritate some people. So some people tonight might be irritated, but I think God has put me here to irritate some people in this church in maybe a good way, and that I love to be accepted and loved and wanted. But there might be some people that they might go for a period of time, they might not really want to be around me, I don't know. But what I do know, like with an oyster, when there's grit irritating it, it produces an amazing pearl. So I just trust and hope that if I irritate people and challenge them and say and push them on with their walk with God, or some of the things, like even talking about the Holy Spirit, that John Fee spoke last week about being Pentecost. And he said about some people perhaps feel a bit uncomfortable with that word Pentecost, what it means about the Holy Spirit. And some people are perhaps a little bit like just uncomfortable with us talking about that sort of thing. And it's an area that I may make feel some people feel uncomfortable. For me, sort of working with the Holy Spirit in my life is the one thing that's really has changed me. And even talking something like the gift of tongues, I'm praying in tongues. I know some people here pray in tongues, some people don't. I know some people have and don't anymore. That I know for me, when I was younger, I prayed. I got people to pray for me to be able to pray in tongues, and it's something that it never seemed to happen. Even though people prayed for me, I just didn't seem to be able to do it, and it became a bit of frustration for me. And almost in the end, I just thought, I don't want it anymore because I'm not getting it. I feel embarrassed that it's not happening. And I had the opportunity to go on an outreach to Hong Kong to work with some people out there. And part of our mission trip was to go to a church that was run by a lady called Jackie Pullinger. And she had an amazing ministry working with drug addicts. And she transformed and changed their lives around and set up a business making T-shirts and that, which they imported out and sold and that, to give them work to do and that. But anyway, I looked into her life and what God had been doing in her life and how she came to that point. And she went out as a young woman to Hong Kong, really on her own, because she had applied to some mission agencies and they didn't really support her, but she felt God called her there. So she's got on a boat and said, I'll get off, God, we need someone to get off. And she ended up in Hong Kong. But one thing she was saying is that she used to walk around the streets in Hong Kong trying to tell people about the love of God. And she used to say things like, Yezo oine, which is Jesus loves you, or something like that. And it might not be 100% right, but she'd say Jesus loves you in Chinese or Cantonese. But she didn't really see any difference. And then John Wimber and his gang were over there doing some teaching on the Holy Spirit. And they prayed for her to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And she was filled in tongues. And she started praying in tongues around the streets. And she said the difference after that in her ministry was absolutely unbelievable. And I thought, well, if that's what it's for, I might want that sort of thing. So I said to God, please, can I pray in tongues? And that gift came to me and I could pray in tongues. And that for me now, that if things are getting hard, things are getting tough, I just go out for a walk on the streets and I'll be praying in tongues and something within me, my spirit within me is just coming alive. And it's just sort of bringing me life. And I know that sometimes there might be things I don't know how to pray. I'll be Jonathan Cooper, God, Shadaki Dada Kemat, and I'm walking in there, just praying for him because that man needs prayer or whatever. But it's really pushing into God. And sometimes I don't know what I'm praying, but I know God's hearing my prayers. And sometimes he gives me words to pray. Sometimes he gives me something I need to pray. He might give me words for him. He might give me something to share with him or other people. But the Holy Spirit is, he's there to give us strength. And that, for me, I know that if you're going to build a building, build a church or build whatever, you can do it using a hammer and a saw, but it's much easier with power tools. And and as a bloke, it's much more fun with power tools. Like, if you want to buy me something exciting for Christmas, buy me a power tool and I'll be well happy. Like, if I bought Amanda a electric mixer, she might not be quite so happy. But I know for me, it's sort of like, I just feel that if we have the power of God in us and God gives us words of knowledge for people to speak into their lives and we can pray for them, see them healed and things like that and set them free from things. I just know that we're going to see that God's church built quicker and we're going to see an excitement happening and just really, I don't know, I think just... I was saying to someone this morning, sometimes we try to go out to bring the people in, but Jesus didn't have to go out to bring the people in. They came to him because they heard that this Jesus had answers to their lives and they sought him out and brought, and they found him. And I believe that with Welton, that like rather than just trying to go out and do stuff, that if God is really moving in our lives in a powerful way, that we can actually be in touch with God and hear what God's saying. And like someone like Philip in the Bible, that God said to him, go out in the desert. And he probably thought, what on earth do I go out in the desert? And he went out in the desert, and God led him to a man who was reading from Isaiah, and he explained him what it was. He became a Christian there and then, and got baptized there and then, and went back to his hometown, and probably they believe that he actually started a revival where he lived. And if we could be sort of in tune with God like that, we've got God's saying his spirit, and we go where he tells us to go, do what he tells us to do. My dad, he's... They I don't know if you've heard a thing they do called treasure hunting, where it's just really like partly it's training you to hear from God, and partly it's a tool you can use to reach people in evangelism. But they wait on God and say, is there anything you want to say, God? Is there a name or a person or a place or this? And my dad would get a person's name, their age, what they like, where he'd find them, and they'd go out and they'd find that person. the sad thing is he doesn't quite know what to say to them when he gets there. So, but he, and I must admit, I did speak to him recently, and he said he's finding it a lot harder than he used to do that. But he, that is something that he is a skill that he'd been developing because he's listening to God. And for me, that I, one of the things that when I was, when God was getting me back on track again, I felt God was telling me that I'd been lied to, and that I'd, and I was thinking God doesn't really speak to me, and he was saying, I do speak to you, Mark. I've spoke to you in this situation, this situation, this situation. And I was thinking, but I find it hard to hear God's voice. And so I went out walking on the streets and just praying. I started praying for the elders, and God just started just like that, gave me a word and a picture for different ones, which most of them I've shared it to. Dave, I haven't shared you yours. It's only yesterday God gave me a bit more of a insight into it, but I can share that with you a bit later on. But it just, because I was open to God, God started giving me things to encourage the church and to build the church up. And I'm sure no one minds being encouraged. I'm sure no one gets offended that you someone says to you, I really feel God's saying this, you're doing great, push on with this, keep going on. And but I, it's something that I feel God's really saying to us, encourage one another, build one another up. And I, as well, I just really felt God was saying that with discipleship, discipling people, that I don't know, I just had this blank in my head. I didn't, even though I knew discipling people was the right thing to do, because Jesus didn't say go and make Christians, he said make disciples. But I didn't know how to do it, even though I should know how to do it. I've had amazing teaching from all sorts of people from all around the world, but somehow there's a block in my head. I thought, how do I put that into practice? And suddenly God just said to me, it's easy. Like, all you do, you spend time with them and you just tell them how to get the next step in their life and just walk it through with them. I thought, why didn't I see that before? And I just thought it was this real difficult thing. We had to sort of learn the formulas or whatever and do it. But God would just show me, I've put you here to disciple people, that I'm not saying I'm the most advanced person in this church, but I know there's a lot. I know there's people that aren't as experienced as what I've been through and what I've learned. So I know there's people I can disciple in this church, and there'll be people in this church I'm looking to disciple me. I want to be discipled by people and learn from people from their experiences and show me some of the things that God's been showing you. And because we don't have it all, we've all have giftings in different areas and experiences in different areas. So my heart is that people within this church would say, Mark, and speak into my life, that I've even when we went on the men's weekend away, I've said some of the guys there and the other guys since, I give you permission to speak into my life. I give you permission to challenge my life. I give you permission to ask what my thought life's like. I give you permission to ask what my relationship with my wife's like. I give you permission to ask if you're having a date night with your wife and things like this. And not no one's actually really ever asked me that, but I do give you, men and women, that I give you that. I say I'm willing to ask, if you ask those questions, if you believe you need to ask those questions, challenge me. And I must admit, there's a couple of guys here have challenged me on my walk with God and reading the Word of God, so I thank them for that. And I'll just have a look at what I was going to say, but it's for me, it's just like I want my life to be so interconnected with the people in this church so that they can encourage me and can walk with me and can take me on. But I want them, I want to take them on as well. I don't want to go on this journey alone. I'm not saying that no one else is in this place with spending time with God and having amazing revelation with God, because I don't know other people's stories. And if people have got exciting stories to say and what God's doing in their life, I'd love to hear from them. And I know someone did come to me the other day and said that they've got a real passion to see people healed, and still would I like to join them and pray with them. And I appreciate the fact they came to me and said that, and it's something that I would like to look into and spend time with them and just and really seek God on that. Because I was even talking to my parents on the phone yesterday, and they've been involved with an organization called LL Ministries, which they specialize in people coming on retreats or weekends and that, and they pray for them and seek God, and God has healed them physically, emotionally, spiritually, all sorts of things. And but my dad was, they were both, my mum and dad were saying recently they've been praying for people and haven't seen prayers answered. And I don't know why God doesn't answer prayer. That I've had real problems with the skin on my hands where they just split and they bleed, and it's been really difficult. But my girls, both Rebecca and Jessica, they regularly pray for my hands. And sorry about it. And I don't know why I'm getting like this. But yeah, but they care for me most nights. So I say, can I pray for you, Dad? And Becky said, God, why aren't you healing my dad? I haven't got answers for her, but I know he heals. Like my dad had arthritis, and we pray for him, and God set him free from arthritis. My mum has celiac disease, where she can't eat flour, and stuff like intolerance to that. And God had a word in my old church for her that she'd be healed, and so me and my friend prayed for her. I don't know if it's my prayers or my friend's prayers, but somehow or another God healed her. And the doctors can't believe it. They've sent her all sorts of tests to prove it. She's not well, but she is well. And they said, you can't be healed from it, but she has. So I know God heals. Becky was on holiday some years ago that she put her teeth through her lip. Well, she's done it twice now. She did it a few weeks ago as well, but she put her teeth through her lip when she was swimming. And they sent her to a casualty, and she had to have a lip all stitched up. And on the way, we just prayed, said, no, we're not having this. And we got there. They said, you can go home. There's nothing wrong. She had no infection. She had nothing. It just healed sort of pretty much just like that. And so we know, don't we, Becky, even when you say to me, Daddy, why doesn't God heal? We remind ourselves of what he has done, don't we? The Holy Spirit has been sort of showing me about the fruit of the Spirit, and that's what I've been trying to work through in my life just recently. And I've really sort of, it's interesting because it talks about love, joy, peace, patience. What's the rest of it? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. And so, and we're taught these things in Sunday school and things like that, but I was thinking, but I don't know if anyone's actually taught me how to put it into practice. And I've sort of, as I said before, I've tried to do the right thing. I've tried to be a good lad and keep everyone happy and make the right choices. But the fruit of the Spirit in your life is more than that. And just recently I've been saying, Holy Spirit, I need you in my life. I need my reactions and my to whatever's going on. It needs to be the Holy Spirit in my life, not me trying to make the right decisions. Yeah, I do need to make the right decisions. I'm not saying it's all that. But somehow I just need to say, Holy Spirit, come and change my life. When I get grumpy about certain things or get irritated about certain things, I ask you to come and give me that kindness. Because I can have some unkind thoughts about people sometimes. And I'm saying, Holy Spirit, let that kindness come in my life. Let that goodness come out of my life. That sometimes I need God's grace. There doesn't seem to be the fruit of grace. I don't know why there isn't the fruit of grace. I don't know. It's just they didn't write all the fruits of the Spirit. I don't know, there's more than nine, but maybe there is a fruit of grace. I don't know, but I'm saying, let your goodness come, let your love come, let your joy come, let that come and change my life. And I've just been saying, Holy Spirit, I want your fruit in my life in a way that I've never seen it before. And I think if we seek it, we'll get it. But if we just sort of know about it and perhaps don't push in with it, then we won't get it. So that's just one thing that another thing God's just really been doing in my life. And just sort of, I think God's just saying, I'm here for you guys. And I, me and Amanda have been talking about, there must be more to the Christian life than what we've got. It's good, it's not bad, but there must be more. There must be something more exciting. And during the when I had the first war out in Iraq, and that they had I met a guy afterwards who had come from Baghdad, and he was a pastor for church there. And he was saying that they were merely sleeping their way to paradise, is the way he put it. And he said, and when their church and the surrounding cities were being bombed, he said, suddenly they woke up, and suddenly they started getting on their knees, they started to pray, and suddenly they started to seek God, and they started to read their Bibles. And when they started to read their Bibles, they started to see the Word of God was true. And they started feeding the Word of God, and then they started getting excited about their friends and their neighbours, and they started telling their friends about Jesus. And they started having an amazing revival in their church. People were coming to know God because these guys, God had shaken them up. God had done something where they just really needed to push into God. And I don't want our nation to come to a place where we need a disaster to come for us to change. I want it to be that we, me particularly, I push into God, I get excited about God because I love him, not because I'm scared of my life, for my life. I know one of my previous pastors, she used to say, God, bring sort of persecution on your church in this nation. We need it, God, almost. She was saying, because we're so apathetic. We're so like, we'll add God into my life in this corner, but it's not as though God's everything. And I'm a long way from perfect. I'm not... I'm just saying God's starting a journey on my life, and I'm wanting to go somewhere, and I'm wanting to take people with me, and people to take me with them, and I'm wanting to see sort of just the love of God just flow out of our lives and to touch people around us. Because I think I've told you guys before once about a guy called Shocker. He's an electrician called Shocker. But he's Pakistani. He's a Muslim guy. And a few years ago now, that he'd had an operation in his eyes, had a cataracts operation done. And his eyesight was good, but he's in a lot of pain all the time. And so I started to pray for him. So he said, okay, so I went to pray for him. No, not here. He says, you can pray for me at home. So I prayed for him, and next time I saw him, he said, oh, my eyes are getting better. Keep praying for me. And I can't remember if it was that time or the next time. I actually went and laid hands on him and prayed for him. And I was in his office, and I just laying hands on him, praying in tongues over him. People coming in and out of the office, I didn't really care. But God set him free, first of all, from the pain, healed him from the pain. But secondly, every time I saw him after that, he said, come and pray for me. I said, your eyes bad? No. Just pray for me. I just love the presence that comes on me when you pray for me. And this Muslim guy was asking me to come and pray for his Muslim friends. Well, we moved here since, so I'm not in that environment. But there's another Muslim guy as well, similar guy. I offered to pray for him, and he let me pray for him as well, in a different situation. And all I'm saying is that he saw the power of God in his life, and he's saying, come and pray for Muslim friends. And that's just an amazing opportunity you can have, that we have something to offer. I've got something to give, and what he was attracted to most was God's presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. And I was praying over him, he just felt God's presence, God's peace, God's love coming over him, and he just loved it. Every time I saw him, he wanted me to pray for him. He'd even phone me up, say, come around and pray for me, sort of thing. It's just, that's something you wouldn't actually expect to happen. I wouldn't have done until I was in this situation myself. So God can do the most unusual things if we're willing to allow him to. And one of the things Paul was saying this morning was about not knowing, like, say, if your family members are going to be walking with God. I know for me, with my girls, that we put as high importance at this age to input into their lives and to pray into their lives and to let them know the power of God and let them know the presence of God. And I don't want them to do stuff to please me. I want it to be that they actually know the presence and the power of God. And I know they hear from God. I know sometimes it's because we pray in the house and we invite the Holy Spirit into our house, and I believe it influences their lives. And I know Becky, even when she was 2 or 3 years old, probably about two, Amanda was driving through the town where we was living, and Becky goes, bye-bye, choo-choo. And I thought that's a bit strange and didn't think anything of it. And then another time, about the same place, she did it again. And so Amanda thought, strange. And then she found out at a later point, there used to be a train station where that was. It's not there anymore. But somehow in the spirit, Rebecca picked it up and she knew. And there's times when Amanda was driving once, and she was really troubled about something, and she's praying to God in her head. And then Becky said, Mummy, listen to my song. And she just sung a song and said, Mummy, it's all okay, God's got it in his hands and whatever. And she picked it up. And even the other day, I was thinking, I'd quite like to live in France. I'd like to be somewhere it's hot. I'd like to be somewhere they go to sleep at lunchtime. And then Becky turns around, Daddy, listen to me speak in French. And almost in the spirit, she knows, she can pick up things. And I took the girls away on holiday to my parents. Just me and the two girls went there for a long weekend just recently. And when we was away, Amanda was really praying, and she really felt God was saying that we had to read through the Bible with them, like just go through it, saying that they can hear what the Word of God is. And so she got together a reading plan, and it's a chronological one, but it did start with Genesis 1 and 2. And then we got back sort of quite late that night, so she thought we'll start it the next night, won't start that night. And so I went upstairs, and Jess is on the top bed, and she goes, "Daddy, I'm going to read the Bible. I've just read Genesis 1 and 2, she said. And I went down and told Amanda. Amanda said, "I can't believe it," she said. "I just felt God saying we need to do that." And Jess has picked it up in the spirit, and that she has somehow, God has spoken to her that I want you to read the Word of God. And do you know what a challenge that is? Not in the challenge doing it, it's a challenge of, that Bible's X-rated. I can't believe what's in it. Like the murdering and the incest and the stuff like that. Like, we were reading stuff last night and I was quite shocked. And we pray before we read the Word of God, and God's grace was on them. They actually read it to me. And I was thinking, God, do I let them read this? Do I not let them read it? And praise God that there's no questions came up that that were difficult to answer. And so, but at the moment, I'm sort of saying, how much of it do we let them read or not read? Because there's some stuff there that is, where we're doing, you can look at Genesis 19, 20 yourself tonight if you want and see what we're to go through. But asking the difficult questions. But for me, it's sort of like with my girls, really like input into their lives and let them find God and connect with God and putting the effort in. Because I know sometimes I'm tired and exhausted and I don't want to actually sit there and go through their Bible reading with them. And like we used to do, Becky used to have a devotional thing we used to do, and it was hard doing it. But I know she'll bear the fruit of that when she gets older. Because you love doing it, don't you, Bex? And even me and Malcolm came around, didn't we? And he was around mine. We'd come spend time to pray together. And we'd done it with Becky. And we started talking. I said, "We just read this." So we went through Becky's thing together. And it really spoke to us, didn't it? And then God, through that, God asked you to ask Becky to pray about something. And we've seen amazing answers to prayer, didn't we? And so it's God... God is using us, the whole church, not just the adults. But I just encouraging people just to push into God and just find God and just to be open to God to move by His Holy Spirit in your lives. That's my challenge.